Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. I'm your host tonight here to talk about everything that just happened on the Big Brother 24 Sunday night episode. Again, I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong. With me tonight to recap everything that we just saw, it's Jacob Jones. How you doing, Jacob?
Ooh, amazing. First off, where is this? You scared me. Where the hell you get this little burst of energy at the introduction? I was taken aback in a very great way, but I was like, damn, homeboy just loaded up in the few minutes that the camera was cut.
Like I was Michael and I just got put on the block.
Period. And then you said, I got one thing to say and delivered that line effortlessly. I am doing amazing. I'm excited to be up here with you three. I feel fantastic. Tonight's episode was very light. I would like to point out I did miss the first part of the Real Housewives of Atlanta reunion for this episode. I don't know if this episode was must-see TV, but it was fun and flirty. And so I'm excited to be here.
All right. Well, also with us tonight is I think there's some kind of third wheel going on. I don't know. That Asia?
I think it is. Yes.
Oh, hey, Asia, how you doing?
But I had to go by the more.
Were you gonna be on this podcast? I thought. Were you gonna come along?
I saw the schedule and I was like, "Oh, it's just Taryn and Jacob Jones, so I have to jump in because y'all have been talking too much this week."
Yeah, I think this is like this is a hotter little throuple. Do y'all remember when we had throuples in Big Brother, like Big Brother Canada throuple, like other Big Brother skin, like throuple? This season hasn't bought a throuple. I guess it has now.
BB24 throuple. There we go.
And we are.
There we are. All right. Asia, how you doing? Did you like this episode?
I could have done without it. You know, it was okay. It could have very well been a part of, like, they could have fit the veto in this episode if they had sped up the week. I knew that they were going to go too long on the competition, which we saw. We got to see the full run for pretty much everybody. So we're at that point though. Final five, right? Well, getting to the final five, final six, we are at that point where the episodes are going to be.
Yeah. I mean, we spent like a good quarter of this episode just kind of going over the double eviction, which is usually pretty fun. I think I enjoyed going back to it and seeing it again, for the most part. I just think there wasn't anything that really surprised me. I wasn't like, oh, I can't believe that happened. But it was pretty dramatic. I do feel like I wish we got more of this in the moment for these double evictions, for the most part. But I thought it was fun to go back. It was, watching Michael just like really just like play so hard, making these arguments, pretty good arguments, like arguments that, Taylor and Alyssa in the diary room are like, I don't know what to think. This is like so sudden. If he had been making these arguments before the double eviction, I think maybe he would have had a chance here, but he really just kind of let it go.
Yeah, he woke up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's crazy that I forgot about that. It felt like so long ago, that first, 15 minutes of the episode. But that was the best part. Like, I could have turned the episode off then and been content. But the fact that Michael woke up in that 1 hour time span and just was like Alyssa said, have never seen him like this. Like, yeah, he's making all these valid points. He's being so convincing. He probably would have had to play a very different game had he been playing like this the entire time. But that was the Michael that, I mean, I don't know. It was very entertaining to see, but he could have had some influence had he been able to do that earlier.
This is a lawyer thing, maybe? Like you hold in all your best arguments for like your closing statement.
I was thinking that he would have ate up that final two speech, like just like the theatrics of everything, the dynamic of everything, like how fierce it was, like he would have ate that up. But it was also and I was such a casual watcher last week of even like live feeds and whatnot. And so it was interesting for me to see the how you know, Michael called out Turner on X, Y, and Z. And then Turner was like, well, that wasn't the initial plan, and showing the background of Turner talking with Alyssa and talking to other members about Brittany leaving, and then Monty kind of winning the veto and kind of taking that HOH reign by storm. And I thought Monty did a really great job at handling it.
Yeah. You know, it was interesting. I think the one thing I really wanted to see, the fact that we spent like a good 15 minutes, it seemed, on this whole recap, is that like, it's been a big point of contention throughout the week. Like, when did Monty really decide to turn on Michael after the deal that they made? Now, I say it's a point of contention. I don't think it's a real point of contention. It's very obvious, if you've watched the feeds, that there was a very blatant shift that happened on Wednesday, where prior to Wednesday, Monty had been talking to Turner about keeping Michael. And then on Wednesday, he went to Turner and said, actually, why don't we actually take the shot out after all? And I would have liked to see more of that explained exactly when that happened. Like, what did Monty come in for? Just for the people who are watching the episodes, did Monty come into the double thinking this, or was he like Turner, not thinking about taking a shot at Michael, and then once he beat Michael was like, okay, I'm definitely going to take the shot at Michael? Again, I think we know the answer, but I think it would have been nice to have a clearer picture of exactly how that happened, especially because, you know, it really, I think, continues to highlight the mistake that Michael was making, keeping both Monty and Turner. As the announcer said, they offered him something here.
But two of his biggest threats made him a team-up offer.
That sounds like something I get offered.
That sounds like something Jacob Jones would say. Like, yes, they offered him a team-up offer. It's
and I took
him classic team-up offer.
You mean an alliance? A deal? Yeah. Like
a final three? Oh my God, that sounds like me and Taryn on a Tuesday night. I didn't catch it, but as you were playing it, that was very, really good. But you know something that also shook me a little bit to the core in this episode, and the first part was when Michael and Brittany, they were sitting, and we saw Michael kind of, you know, pop off and say great points and kind of out Brittany for what the hell she's been doing for the last couple of days, and you can say weeks in certain ways, but the fact that he apologized, but he had such, like, he's just like, I'm sorry Brittany, I couldn't. And then seeing their little dialogue back and forth as they're sitting together, I was like, because honestly, Brittany even said in her confessionals, and I don't know if I agree with her, I think she was being messy. She was being messy, a lot messy. And Michael honestly wasn't in agreement with this. I did see a couple of those parts. But she was like, everything I was doing that was messy was for you. And having like them two sit on the block and having the discourse happen, I like felt a little bad for Brittany. Because if that was me and my homeboy, just like Jacob, a dirty little, you know, not saying he said that, but like I'm putting it into my terms. Oh, baby, I would be like, like shook. And so it definitely made me understand where she was coming from and her reaction, because I first saw the reaction pictures and I was like, who the hell did something to Brittany? Like, and then I saw that, and then I went back and watched, and then I saw this episode. I'm like, damn, Michael stuck it to her, baby. No chaser.
Well, she said he went too far.
Yeah. What was too far? The occupation thing?
I don't think she knew about that.
Yeah, I don't think she knows about that, because he told Alyssa. I don't know if Alyssa came back. I think probably just saying, hey, Brittany did X, Y, and Z, playing a messy ass game, whatever. I mean, if I'm your number one and we're on the block together. Wait, and another thing, Alyssa even said, I'm surprised that he's throwing his number one under the block. They're on the block together. Right. The hell you expect him to do? Say Brittany is an upstanding character. She deserves to be in this house. Hell no. And it's double eviction. You better give it to her. Give it to her bad. And that's what he did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was surprised that he had started the campaign for us to see Alyssa and Taylor. And I felt like he needed a moment to kind of get his points together, like he did at the speech, because he kind of was just like, come on. He's like, Alyssa, you know where you stand with me. But she doesn't.
Can I just say, I love how, and I think there are things to critique about the arguments that Michael was making. I think there were better ways to make the case. And I think, again, like, I think he should have been making these points long before the double eviction. He was way too passive about that. However, I loved how Michael handled the double eviction. He did things that, like, I constantly question why more people don't. He was in the middle of pleading with Monty. As soon as it became obvious to him, Monty's not changing his mind, he was like, all right, I'm going to leave now. I'm going to go campaign. He grabbed two people, the two votes he knew he needed, and he pulled them aside. Then he was talking to Alyssa. He came in, he grabbed Taylor when she was talking to Turner and Monty. He was like, I need you to talk to me right now. He did not care about like the social niceties of like waiting his turn and making sure, like, thank you, Michael. So many people have gone home because they didn't have the guts to do just a simple thing like that. Talking about Sam and BB21. I'm talking about like multiple people who have gone home in a double eviction because they couldn't just be like, actually, screw this conversation. I need to go talk to somebody else. Or like, hey, you now, I need to talk to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my favorite part was him grabbing Taylor when she was talking to Monty and Turner. And before they could even step foot out of the room, he's like, I'm putting them two up, which is like, yes, just put it out there. But it's just like, I almost thought he would, like, he sold them. Like, when we watched it on Thursday, I thought they could have been convinced because it was such a convincing argument. But it's just like, yes, it's blaringly obvious that you need to get him out. But valid points.
Yeah, I think, again, it's the difference. And we've seen this in double evictions before, too, where it's the difference between Michael making really good points for about 5 minutes versus Monty making points for the last 2 weeks. Right? Like, and Taylor to a degree as well. Like, there's too much momentum to turn it around in just 1 5-minute conversation. And that's again why, like, Michael needed to be working more on these relationships, convincing people like Taylor more that she needed him in the game, convincing Alyssa, you need me in the game, you know, taking out his bigger competition. Like, even Turner and Monty, like, when they were coming up to him with their team up offer, he was like, yeah, that sounds great, love it, and like didn't do enough. He let them make the arguments. It never really locked them in, never fed their fears of a women's alliance, because that was the real reason why they were making that alliance with him in the first place, their team up offer in the first place. I just think that so much more was needed before the double eviction, but I love what he tried to do in the double eviction. Very great. Very fun.
Have you ever, now that I'm like looking at you, do you and Michael, Asia, do Taryn and Michael kind of favor?
Favor?
Yeah.
Like, do y'all look alike?
Look alike, yeah.
Do we look alike? I don't know.
I mean, your hair is more curly.
Right. No.
That's the only thing I'm saying is different, though.
Slim face, that's
slim face, yeah. Slim face. Slim face, thick waist, and a big behind.
Yeah.
Song. But something else that I saw, that's a song for people who don't know. Something else that I saw, I'm getting tired of Monty picking Taylor up, because I thought it was a one instance of in the HOH room when he like picked her up with that one arm. Asia, you tweeted about this. Oh, Monty picking Taylor up with one arm. Ooh, that's my man. But he did it even when he won POV. And I'm like, put her down. Put her down. Asia, that's your man, so I'm gonna let you defend him. Well, that's what I did on Twitter.
No, but those words were not in my tweet. I did not say that's my man. I just
what did you say though? You said, ooh, pick me up like that, Monty. No, that's what you said. Pick me up like that.
I said it is not lost on me that he used one arm to effortlessly pick her up.
Is this like the putting your hand on a person's chest in a photo? This is a meaningful one-arm pickup.
I feel like a one-arm pickup. No, because a little delicate gives very much like romance, like, oh, like love. A one-arm pickup. If someone picked me up by one arm, take me here. Close the lights. Cut the camera. Close the mic.
See, saying it's impressive.
Taylor's like, how can
so
I
it's
do
like,
that?
So it's like, this is like a way to flex. Like, right. Like, let me show you.
He's like, I didn't even need the other arm.
I didn't even need it.
Oh boy.
Oh my gosh.
Oh boy. Yeah. And hey, now he's beating Michael in a competition. So
Now he's flexing hard.
Put a rope in his hand. So
we're getting a little 50 Shades of Grey here.
I mean, Taylor made one comment about his thighs, and you saw those shorts during the nomination ceremony.
He was like, let me show all the assets that I have. Right.
Okay, I'm a personal trainer for nothing.
No, literally, Asia's like, oh, okay, Monty. See, Asia, I know where you're at now. I know where you're at. No.
Boy.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh man. Well, speaking of Monty's thighs, we get to the HOH competition, and he's going to be losing his pants.
Asia, your thoughts?
No thoughts about this man. A personality makes a person, okay?
Ooh. See, no. I wish I was like that. No, bring your fine ass in here. That's why I'm in the position I am in. But the HOH competition was so cute. I love those type of competitions.
I also loved this competition.
Yeah, me too.
It was so well produced. With the music and the sound effects and the spookiness, I was like, I want to do this. This looks like fun.
Like, but I'm already here. I wanted to see how everyone did that. I really wish we could have saw everyone except, like, including Brittany, because we only saw Brittany's version. But I wanted to see how everyone delivered those lines.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, from the same people that brought you
Wake Up Sheeple,
we're the gibberish that that unfortunately or maybe fortunately for everyone that I can't find we're getting this like actually like the sound effects are good, the voice on the phone was good. And that like, just like the editing of, like the shaking and, there's definitely like something wrong with me because not only do I enjoy watching the show Big Brother, but I also enjoy watching people get scared. Like, especially watching Monty just go like, ah! I was loving it.
It was good. Have y'all ever done a scary escape room?
Oh yeah.
Oh, not in a scary escape room. I don't mess with that type of stuff. No.
So I mostly pre-pandemic, but I'm trying to get back into it. I've done like 40 escape rooms. And I did one in Hollywood that was like lights were off. We had to like find a flashlight. There were sound effects. Gave me very much this comp. But yeah, I loved it.
Which one is it? What's the recommendation here? Do you remember?
No, I can't remember the name. This was like maybe like 3 or 4 years ago. But I do know that it was like in Hollywood, maybe off of Sunset Boulevard. So that gives you a radius.
Maybe they took inspiration.
Honestly, did y'all ever watch the show Scare Tactics? That was on, what channel, hosted by Tracy Morgan. This is what that kind of reminded me of in a lot of ways. I used to live for that shit. I love that like show.
Sci-fi.
It's sci-fi. Oh, yeah, that sci-fi. Show used to eat. If they had live actors in it, I would have liked, because I'm a scary bitch. I'm like, I don't really like the sliminess of it. The darkness is what really creeps me out because like, God forbid I have my eyes closed too long when I'm sleeping. Like, I wake up swinging at the walls, you know what I mean? And so, but like, even the gooiness, and I was like, yo, I've been in a lot of rooms with a lot of different, you know, goos and whatnot. So like, this like, I should be comfortable. But like, it still like ate me up. And I was like, I don't think I would have been like Taylor. I still would have like hammered through that, but I definitely would have been shook, shivered, and scared as hell. I kind of would have did like a little Tamar little thing.
I was most impressed by Alyssa, I think, by far. She was the only, because I was saying as we were watching, I was just like, the only way to play this competition is to just say like, okay, I am going to get hurt. And just go. Just protect your head and your face and just like accept that your shins are going to get banged up, that you're going to get like hit from all angles as you just storm through this thing. If you are inching step by step, holding the wall, you're going to lose unless everybody does that. The second one person is willing to bang themselves up a little bit, that person's going to win as long as they count how many doors they've barred. And so,
and that's what, cause I oftentimes saw that extra thing that, it was in Monty's when he was doing a competition. I saw that extra plank and I was like, the producers did that, I think for that very reason, people who get caught up and it's like, I have an extra plank. I need an extra door. But Alyssa kind of caught and was like, all right, F it. Mm-hmm. I'm just gonna switch it. But that was a clever thing that the producers did for that.
Yeah. Time. Yeah. I mean, like Monty is literally like scooting on his butt. Like mm-hmm. around the entire room, like you're gay, like somebody who's actually walking through that room is going to beat Monty in a heartbeat.
But he won though. But he won.
Yeah. Because Alyssa couldn't figure it out.
But like
Brittany, if she had not gotten stuck on that fourth door, thinking that the wall was the door, I think she could have beat him.
Yep.
But I feel like once you kind of, if you go in Hail Mary, like you're going to miss some, you're going to miss something. So I feel like you have to be cautious to a certain extent. I mean, maybe you just balls to the wall, homie, but
I think Helena and BB Cantan is a great example of so she just like went for it and she crushed that that blindfold competition.
I was about to say that wasn't the competition last season. They had it was early on in the season where they had the can stacking. It wasn't that one. I'm thinking of Big Brother. I'm 23, not Big Brother Canada.
Yeah, well, excellent performance from Alyssa until she screws up. Monty, 9 seconds ahead of Brittany, who I thought did a pretty good job here. And then Taylor, who I felt like they did her a little dirty here. I feel like she talked about like having a panic attack in there, that like this was bringing up traumatic experiences from when she was a kid. And they very much were like, yeah, so she crawled in the hole and then she was like, nope.
Yeah, she literally slept in the bathroom that night because it just freaked her out so much. Like I remember Feeds coming back and being like, is she okay? Like, is she sad that Monty won? Like what's happening? And it was like, no, the comp just like shook her to her core. I would have loved to have like for them to just be able to show her, provide an explanation and not just look like, oh, I couldn't do it. It was too dark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially after she gave this great line in the episode that I'm hoping will become relevant in the future.
Good night, Turner.
Yeah. I said that seals his fate. He's done.
That's all she needs. I've made some good investment in Taylor soundbites before. We'll see if this one holds. So Monty by 9 seconds. What a different game this is if Brittany wins this HOH. And even then, a different game if Alyssa doesn't screw up the door and manages to finish. I think given how, at least how it was edited, it definitely looked to me like Alyssa would have easily beaten everyone else in this competition had she actually like realized that she got all the doors and then mm-hmm. flipped the switch at the time that she actually got all the doors.
She was killing it.
Yeah. But come on, Tom, but here we go.
Alyssa coming in at the last bit.
Mm. Yeah, this was her comp. Mm. Didn't work out. So by 9 seconds, Monty has won the final five HOH. And we're going to get a couple of one-on-ones. He's going to talk to Alyssa. He's going to talk to Brittany. He's going to talk to Taylor. They skipped over his talk with Turner, which is interesting because in the episode, they present this as, okay, Alyssa's going up on the block. She would be a good target. Brittany's going on the block. She would be a good target. I'm going to talk to Taylor. Hey, Taylor. If you happen to win the veto and you happen to use the veto and you happen to force me to put Turner on the block and Turner happens to go, I'm just saying, which is a big implication, right? The thing that they're leaving out in this episode is that he said the exact same thing to Turner about Taylor. So Turner, if you happen to win the veto and you happen to use the veto and Taylor happens to go on the block, and Taylor happens to go, oh, What am I going to do? So it was very strange to me that they only presented one side of this, considering that that Monty really did say it to both sides. And Monty in the diary room is like, let me clear this up for you, audience. I trust Taylor more than almost anyone else in this house. I also trust Turner. I feel very good with my final two with Turner. But on the other hand, I also feel very good with Taylor. Thanks, Monty. You've really cleared that up for me.
That was funny. That was literally crystal clear. Yeah, that was funny. Also, I really, because I wonder what the DR, probably the same DR was going to be if they would have showed the Turner conversation as well, being like, well, no blood on my hands, so I can stay clear of that, as he said in his DR in regards to the conversation with him and Taylor. And so it was interesting, but I did like that they showed Taylor in that kind of realm.
It would have been a perfect side-by-side, or like a bounce back and forth, like the exact same words. And then just Monty being like, look, as long as it's not me.
Anybody but me, yeah. Even though it couldn't be him. You know?
Yeah. And so we're going to see it. Monty is going to put Alyssa and Brittany on the block. We're going to reiterate again that, hey, if Taylor wins the veto, then it's...
Good night, Turner.
So just watch out.
Also, so wait, something else. When I just noticed this about Monty, and I clocked it, and I was really frustrated. When he delivers any type of news, he does it with a smile at the end. And I get very mad. I get pissed, quite frankly. When he was up during his nomination speech, blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah.
Sorry, Jacob, it's blase blah. Blase.
I just hate it so much. I'm like, stop. You're a positive person, I guess, but like yeah, I'm a good guy. It pisses me off when I see it. Probably I'm just not a nice person. I don't know. But like when I see him smile after delivering any type of news, yes, and that smile that he gives, and even, wait, do you do spoilers on this episode? I know you got your spoiler.
Alert.
Okay,
yes.
I'm not about to say anything that's spoiler, but even when he was talking to X, Y, and Z, he was like, oh yeah, I don't know. Asia, that's your man, so I don't want to go too hard on him, but like, the smiling needs to stop. It's like, oh yeah, I'm putting you up. No.
Jacob, you will not put this slander out there. People are going to walk away from here thinking, no.
My man. No. You sound like me about Taryn.
Monty is not my Taryn for you. Oh, but yes, I was thinking that too when during the double eviction, when he went up to Alyssa. You're coming down, girl.
Oh, that was like, homie was feeling himself, feeling his oats, feeling his thighs, feeling his back, feeling the massages of Taylor rubbing the lotion in, feeling everything. Like, oh, yeah. Like, I'm just like, stop. No heavy breathing.
The way he was acting like a coach after Michael went out, everybody's stunned. He's like, I know some things are said. Y'all might feel a certain type of way. Why are you trying to regroup the house?
You're not Coach Carter. Like, stop. Okay. So, yeah. Stop.
I think there's a big sense of like, look, especially once he gets Michael out of the game, it's like, now I'm big man on campus. You know, this is my house now.
Ew. Stop. Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it. And I mean,
it's not entirely wrong.
I mean, it's not, but like, don't do it. Like, stop while you're ahead. Like, please. I'm like, at this point, I'm begging. Like, at this point, like, I'm like begging for that to happen. Like, if you want the $750,000, take it. But just don't smile after everything you say again. Like, don't feel like, oh yeah, I'm that dude. Yeah. Like, stop.
He's that girl.
Yeah, definitely. He's got to stop that smiling.
Maybe I just don't like happiness.
Maybe.
I just don't like smiles that are ingenuine. Like if you're smiling, you're happy, yeah, but not just to like as a period, you know?
Asia, exclamation point, period, literally. That's what it is. I think that's what irks me.
Jacob, did he give a smile? Well, so he broke the news to Michael when he was using the veto. Was he given the smile then?
Now, wait, Terry, don't put me on the spot. I did not least look at his. Did he? He had to. He had to.
I mean, Don't think about like what you remember. Think about your emotions. Were you feeling very annoyed in the moment?
I have to. He did. I have to. You my biggest. It's out of respect. Yes, he did it. He was like, it's out of respect. Like, I'm sorry. Michael's like, it's not respect. It is. Like, oh my God. Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
I liked that too. Like, it's one thing I'm
not switching up on. Don't do it again. After this season, like, he has something like he needs, I don't know.
Jacob Jones is going to talk with Monty, and Monty's going to be like, oh, hey,
Jacob, I can't hear y'all. Wait, hold on. Y'all talk. I'm a fix.
It's okay.
No, he muted himself.
I was wondering why he kept going.
Yeah.
I'm back. What happened? What was
that? Oh, you can hear us. Okay.
You can hear us?
Yeah.
All right. You're gonna be talking with Monty at some point in your life, and he's gonna be like, "Oh, Jacob Jones, nice to meet you." And you're gonna be like, "Stop! Just
yeah, you went too far.
Just get already. Out of here with that.
Already, I don't do that. Not over here. Okay, keep that smile for Asia. Not over here. I don't want it."
You lift me up with one arm, no smile. All right,
exactly. I want smile. Pure. I want pure serious. Yeah, I don't want no friendly. If you pick me up with one arm, you better not smile at me. You better choke me up. I don't know.
Oh boy! All right.
Now you don't know.
Oh man, that's.
Oh my gosh! I've never been picked up by one arm before.
All right.
I feel like I'm light enough too.
I like what Monty did here. I feel like this was a good way. Breaking the news to Michael in the way that he did, I think was good. It took ownership of the move. I also think it's a little bit of a dig, right, for Monty to say, I would look like an idiot if I didn't take the shot at you right now. Because in my head, I'm like, yeah, Michael looked like an idiot when he didn't take the shot at you three times.
Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah. Obviously Michael sees that. Like, he should have taken him out. And then even to have Brittany on top of him all week saying he should do that and he still didn't. Like, he should have done it. He had the thought, like, oh, I should take the shot. And then even Brittany was telling him he now has to sit with she was right because now he's about to leave. it was too much happening at once. And he still pulled off good points.
Yeah. Yeah,
ate that.
So here we go. Alyssa and Brittany on the block. That's mostly the episode here. Anything else from the episode that we should bring up?
I did make one point that I wrote down in my notes app because, and probably it was a slip of the tongue. No telling. But when Brittany was talking to Monty in the HOH room, she said this, and I heard it specifically. She said, Brittany says, and now that Mike is gone, Michael, I just have to shorthand it in my notes. Brittany says, now that Mike is gone, shorthanded by not saying Michael, but Mike, oh, I'm so impressive. Anyways, continuing. Brittany says, now that Mike is gone, I am playing the game for myself. And she said, for myself, not by myself. And I was like, I just caught that. And I was like, I guess she wasn't playing for herself even when Michael was here. And she knows that she was playing for like second. But I just thought that was a interesting choice of words. And maybe it was like, oh, a flip of the tongue or whatever. But I did.
No, that's very much how she's operated. And she's been very open about it. Like, she really was playing for the Michael win. And now no longer. He can't.
That's why she's being so chaotic. She had already resigned to the fact that she was going to get second. But I also peeped that in her explanation about, you know, Michael going too far, she was like, you know, I've been, my whole game has been being Michael's friend. Like, I'm glad self-awareness is key.
Yeah, that's pretty much exactly how it went. We have a couple of...
done if he wasn't there?
Yeah.
I mean, go home, probably.
That's true.
All right. We got a couple of questions. You can ask some questions in the chat. Sam is going to be trying to keep track if you're if you want to ask away. So ask very quickly so it's hard for him to read them all. here's a question from Jordan. Do you think Michael will be back for another season? I think this is an interesting question because you would assume, you know, having broken the all-time single season veto comp record, being a big character, going out the way he did, but at the same time, did not seem like production loved him. So what do you guys think?
I think, I mean, if David Alexander can come back for Big Brother All-Stars, I think Michael. I think he will. I think we'll see him. If they do bring back people, but I think we'll see him again. Even though they kind of stuck it to him, you know, a couple episodes back and kind of haven't been doing him favors, but yeah.
Yeah, I think it would depend on how he handles everything coming out and how he like reflects back on his experience. If he just like takes it in, just is like, yeah, you know, I totally understand the fan reaction or how I was, you know, portrayed on the show or how things are edited or whatever. I think the invitation would be given, but I think it would be on Michael, depending on how everything goes right after he gets out of jury, if he would say yes or not.
All right, hear me out. New season, Michael and Janelle together, same season, just the two of them with some new players. How does it go?
I think Janelle goes first.
Two biggest comp beasts of all time.
I think Janelle gets out first and Michael gets out second.
Honestly, you think that? You think Michael TBH. Would be after?
Yeah, I don't know why. Is Janelle still Janelle like in our minds, or is it like there? Everyone has a clean slate.
What do you mean?
Like, what do I mean? Is Janelle like? Do I have the same perception of Janelle that I have now?
This is a real life scenario.
So she's never played Big Brother before.
No, this is real life. She's played it four times now.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I feel like Janelle's personality is more powerful than I feel like Michael's
thinking recency bias. I'm thinking you're bringing in new players. Mm. Half of them probably have only seen the last couple of seasons. They're going to think, oh my gosh, it's Michael. He wins everything. Not, oh, back in 2000, you know.
Ooh,
they may not be aware of the threat of Janelle.
Hold on. Addendum. Not just Michael and Janelle, but also Rachel Riley and Ceree Fields.
Oh,
right. We get that snake in the grass.
You're
crew.
Getting the snake in the grass.
Yeah.
Crew.
Yeah.
This is Taryn's like wet dream. Yeah. Iconic nonetheless. Ceree for the win and bump it up to 1 million.
Right. Perfect. Make it happen.
Also, what's James Ryan? Wasn't he like a comp?
James Ryan. He was the original veto king. Yeah. I'm surprised he hasn't been back since season 7. Yeah.
You said Frankie.
Frankie tweeted something the other day or posted, or I saw somewhere him talking about his 9 comp wins.
Frankie Grande?
Mm-hmm. It was an article.
What? Oh, he was trying to battle the block himself up a bit.
What the hell? What is that? Ceree Fields wasn't
and
on
my
Big
wins
Brother.
Were fan favorite wins.
Oh,
yeah. The box.
Yeah. You know, so on.
The all-time fan favorite.
Will be very interesting, though.
All right. We have a question from Mo. Will Michael and Brittany make up?
Brittany's already made up with Michael by herself in the house, in the diary room.
With the friendship bracelet.
With the festy bestie bracelet. You better take that shit off. He dragged you across the floor. Mopped. You better go in there. If you go to the jury house, you better give him something and say it with your pinky out firm and with your neck a little curved. And I'm not playing no games. But yeah, they probably will. Like Brittany's Brittany's not that type. And Michael's not that type. He seemed very apologetic.
In this situation, Brittany would be the one that's mad, but she's not.
Mm-hmm. And she's not. Yeah, yeah. So work.
Montserrat asks, what's the reception for Michael going to be at the jury house? How's it going to go for him when he arrives? Terrence comes in first. Mm-hmm. He says, guys, I've got so much to tell you about Michael. And then Michael comes in and he's like, hey, what's up?
No, literally. And I know Terrence is going to like have like a hard on to just like throw him completely under the bus, like immediately. Like, oh, yeah, guys, I'm out. But let me tell you about this little dude. Let me tell you about this. Let me tell you about him. And then Michael's going to come in. I think it's going to be a very hard reaction. I mean, especially we saw from the last jury section, Joseph and Jasmine were kind of, you know how production kind of edited that situation in a not so great, in a not great life for, in a not great way for Michael and Brittany. And I think that Cadence has kind of continued to the house guests and kind of what they see. And, you know, so I think it's not going to be very loving initially, but they're all normal people, friendly people for the most part. So if they can forgive Kyle, they, you know, but I'm nobody's compass. So.
All right. Well, Christine wants to know, does Brittany have a chance to win the game if she wins the rest of the competitions?
Brit.
Is it possible?
Yeah, Taryn. Yeah. She didn't say Brittany. No. Mm-hmm.
Does she have a chance to win?
To win the game.
No. I think she loses against every person that's left.
Outcome looks grim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You because look grim.
She's not even good.
You're dressed in black.
She's not even like Michael. I mean, I didn't see it in any of his interviews. I didn't read them all, but it didn't seem like he's going to go in there championing for her to win. So he's like, if she's trying to take credit for stuff and he's like, no, that was my move. If she doesn't even have him like in her corner.
I mean, no. Yeah, we know, we've seen how Michael operates. He's going to go into that jury house and they're going to be like, Michael, we have to talk about the timing of that Kyle thing. Mm-hmm. And he's going to be like, this is my priority. Sorry, Brittany, but I'm going to have to use all of my power here to recuperate my own image. You're on your own.
And when Brittany gets into that jury house, if she does, it's going to give that. It's going to give exactly that. And it's going to be like, she's not going to know what to do herself. Yeah. She's going to be panicking.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Are we ready to talk about some spoilers?
Wait, do we not have any more questions?
There are a couple more questions, but we think we can spoiler them.
Oh, okay, well, one more thing from the episode. I did like the flashback to Alyssa and then the lower third saying the last time Alyssa had cider.
I love that too. I love that.
Because cider is amazing. That was very cute. I
don't really do cider like that.
I love it. I prefer that. I don't like beer. So I
hate cider. Not soft cider.
No, yeah, everything I do is hard, but I just like cider's like so weak. Not weak, but like, I don't know. Just like give me a glass of wine or some hard liquor. You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Yeah, some can be like 5%, but I've had some cider that's like 8%.
Oh, and it gets you nice, Asia?
Mm-hmm. Drink two.
You be moving like Alyssa?
Do you start going, Texas?
Texas. Literally. Oh, it's not this. This is I love you, I think, in sign language.
Yeah.
This is Longhorns. Hook 'em.
Yeah.
No, Taryn, not like punk rock. I know, I saw. You met the girl from the Ultimatum.
Yeah, Shanique from the Ultimatum was there with Randall. They're still together. And she was so sweet. And she saw Pepper and she thought Pepper was so cute. She said, oh my gosh, her eyes are beautiful. She was so nice. She took a picture with me and my brother. So cool.
So I never commented on a dog's eyes before.
They're light. They're light brown. They're
or beautiful. Are you pretending to be Spider-Man? Who the hell are they referring to? Oh, this. Oh. You got me there. I'm like, who the hell are they talking about?
Oh, God.
All right. Let's talk about some spoilers. Let's talk about who won the veto and what is going to happen from here. If you're leaving now, thanks for joining us. Make sure you tune in for the roundtable on Tuesday and the episode recap coming on Wednesday as well. But in the meantime, here are some spoilers.
The Office Asia, of Civil Defense has issued dance. The following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler.
Warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
I like that little lip bite that you do, homie, right here. Okay, you try you try to sex it up a little bit. I'm with the rebrand.
Look at Taryn. Where is that? This way.
What are we, the Brady Bunch?
This was you, Taryn. Look at this. I'm going to do you.
Okay. Can we get a re-edit of a side-by-side with Jacob Jones and me? See how accurate this is.
Aaron was biting that lip for dear life.
Oh, boy. All right. Who won the power of veto?
Dun, dun, dun.
Let's see. Who was it? It was Brittany. Brittany won the power of veto. Monty did not compete in the power of veto. He had better things to do.
Like put in contacts, right? Is that what I heard?
Yeah. He was like, hold on. I got some short shorts I got to put on. I'm telling you.
I can't lotion my back. My back has to be lotioned. I can't do it by myself. Taylor's already outside for the comp. I got to lotion my back.
And I think that sucks. Asia, how do you feel about that? Because Taryn was like bitching about it. Like, he was like mad about it. I was pissed about it too, but I wasn't like that mad about it. I was like, all right, homie. I thought it was a joke at first. I thought it was very facetious. Not facetious. No, facetious is the wrong word, but whatever.
It could, I don't know. It was awful. Like, we're at the final six. This is the first time everybody can compete. And now you decide to be strict about the time limit. I mean, I'm imagining on Wednesday, we're going to get Monty, like all season, we get a time limit when it's time for competition. And this time, I didn't make it. Because how else are they going to explain this? What time crunch are they on? Did they have like a celebrity there that could, clearly not because they've been talking about anything. But like, what was the time constraint that they couldn't start 5 minutes later?
Yeah, and that's the thing. So like when I talked about this in the update, this was like breaking news. We did not know exactly what it was. We still don't know exactly what it was. But it definitely was being made to sound like this was just a normal, like, call everyone to the competition. Monty, sorry, you didn't make it in time. You don't get to compete. It is possible that this was like a thing. And this is something I mentioned on the update, which is that like, this could have been part of the competition. They've done that before, like once before. Where it's like, hey, this is it. You gotta go. You gotta get out there. If you don't get out there, you're not going to be able to compete. If this was just like a regular situation where they just decided arbitrarily to like, not let him compete, that's ridiculous. If this was like, this is part of the competition. You got to get up. You got to get out. Then that's maybe another thing. Still, though, it's just a very strange circumstance for sure.
Yeah, like maybe it was last one out is just out. You know, like the comp was something very different. But it's just, I mean, when has Big Brother US ever been a stickler about the rules? They say don't sleep between the hours of 10 a.m. and 10 p.m., but people nap all day. So it's just like, when have they ever decided to just be super strict?
Yeah, people have also said like, because I talked about how, you know, he was like, well, he might not have been allowed to wear his glasses at all. People are like, oh, Michael wears his glasses. Yes, because some people are allowed to wear their glasses because it's part of their look. Other people, like earlier in the season with Kyle, not allowed to wear his glasses in a competition because not part of his look. So I don't know if Monty had to wear his contacts or what, but that was one of the things that definitely slowed him down. So who knows? But either way, we'll probably maybe find out a little bit at least on the Wednesday night episode. And the ultimate result here is that Brittany is the Final Five veto winner. She does plan to take herself off the block, and Monty intends to put Taylor up in her place. However, he has gotten Turner to agree to evict Alyssa over Taylor. And even if Turner didn't agree, as long as Brittany votes to keep Taylor, it will be a tie. Monty intends to break the tie to evict Alyssa and keep Taylor. That is Monty's plan. Alyssa out, head into the final four with Turner, Taylor, and Brittany. That is where things stand right now, Asia.
So no matter what, you do not think that Brittany will vote out Taylor.
Oh, I didn't say that.
Stop scaring me.
Oh, I don't even want to think of that as a possibility.
I talked about it this morning. I do think there's a very compelling case for why Brittany would choose to evict Taylor here. If she's playing for herself, right? Alyssa is the person she has a snowball's chance in hell of beating in the game. And if she said to Turner, hey, let's make a deal. You and me will vote out Taylor together. We'll keep Alyssa. It'll be us three versus Monty in the final four veto. He can't even compete in the HOH. And then you're in the final three with me and Alyssa. It's a way better spot to be. You beat both of us and Alyssa takes you if she wins. Versus in there with Monty and Taylor, they both beat you and they both take each other if they win. Why wouldn't you want to be in that in this final three instead? It's a pretty compelling argument. I don't think it'll land that well with Turner, although I do think Turner would like to keep Alyssa if he could. I don't think he would actually work with Brittany. But it's possible that Brittany makes the pitch. It's possible that Turner considers, voting out Taylor here. So we will see. We will see. As of right now, things do look pretty solidly in the camp of keeping Taylor, but there is still some time before the eviction, Jacob Jones.
I'm excited for it.
So you look like you're in emotional distress.
Someone in the chat is making me laugh right now. That was a good synopsis for it.
That was a good what?
Synopsis? What synopsis? Mm-hmm. Like I said, like a
I like how you fade out because you're like
a synopsis. I don't know the last. Yeah, it was a good run through. No, I like it.
Yeah, it makes me nervous, especially stuff we're seeing today, which I'm sure you're going to go over tomorrow. This conversation that was happening during the episode. I just don't want Taylor to be linked to Monty. And what he's doing right now. I don't get the purpose of getting Brittany to admit to the things that she's lied about.
Is that what's going on right now?
It's a very strange conversation. Obviously, unfortunately, I haven't been able to keep up with it because the episode was on and then we've been podcasting. I was able to listen to a bit of it in between the episode and the podcast. And it definitely was like a weird vibe. We'll talk about it tomorrow morning, but it was a lot of like talking about the Kyle stuff, talking about the Turner stuff, Brittany denying that she had a final two with Turner, talking a lot about moving forward as a final three. And now Monty is talking to Turner and kind of seemingly, I think, recapping it for him a bit, still very firmly locked in on making sure that Taylor goes up on the block and that Turner does not feel like he would go up on the block. I don't think that Monty has changed his mind at all, but it was definitely a weird conversation.
Mm. Yeah, it's definitely Monty being high on his own supply because there was no reason for the way he was talking to her. She was going wild last week and a lot of the game, but it's just like, what does he get out of it? She's safe. Right now, it's not really a productive conversation to move forward. I'll be interested in hearing the whole conversation because I was watching it in between, like during the commercials too.
You know what this kind of sounds like? And trust me, I probably know less than y'all do, but it kind of sounds like when Brittany was talking to Jasmine before Jasmine was evicted and saying, hey, we know everything that you did in this game. I need you to admit it right now to us. Even though we're evicting you, I still need it to come out of your mouth. And it's like, for what reason? Why? Like, just leave her alone. And so kind of Brittany is safe. So it's kind of like, are you just trying to, mess up that relationship a little bit? But we'll see.
Yeah, especially because like one of the whole points of keeping Turner in the game for Monty is to leave somebody in the game that Brittany will target over him. Make Brittany feel good about you.
Yeah.
You want Brittany to be saying
good night, Turner. Right. Literally.
Yeah. That's one thing I think I kind of got out of this episode was how much Brittany wants Turner out over Monty. Mm-hmm. It was like, I thought it could go either way for her, but the fact that she felt so passionate about, like, if she had won HOH, she would have done that. I'm like, Monty, you're not helping yourself because you're creeping up to be a preferred target. I mean, even if she gets HOH, though, she won't have any sway, but it's still, it doesn't help.
Yeah. And I think there is an emotional component to that too, in terms of like revenge for Michael. It definitely seemed like Michael was most hurt by Turner. We talked about this on the Thursday recap that, you know, Michael brings up the LGBTQ promise from Turner in the double eviction. Now it definitely felt like, whoa, why are you bringing that up in the middle of all this, Michael? However, he explained in the exit interviews, and it was kind of explained in the episode as well, that he wasn't the one to bring that up in the first place. This was Turner that said it to him, without any prompting. So Michael feels like, why did Turner bring it into the game at all? And this is true. This is something that Turner had brought up to Michael in the past. And so I think Michael felt extra burned by Turner, because why did he need to bring that into it at all? And I think that you could feel Michael's frustration with that. And I think that Brittany blames Turner more than she blames Monty for the ultimate decision that was made. I think additionally, you do tend to blame the person who didn't want to do it as much. Right. Mm-hmm. Like Monty is very solid in his conviction. He wanted Michael out. Sorry, it's got to happen. Turner was like, oh, I don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. Like, I wasn't planning on doing this, I promise. Like, it makes it seem like somebody else made you do it, which makes you more frustrated at that person, because like there's an element of like, first of all, this wasn't even your move. Do something on your own. Second, like, I could have convinced you and somebody else did it instead. Like, that's even more annoying. And so I think there is a lot there for Brittany to feel upset about. But, you know, if you're looking at it, if Brittany's there, you know, at the final four and you've got Taylor and Monty and you've got Turner, maybe it does make sense for Brittany to take out Monty at that point. Mm-hmm. Maybe then both people definitely take her to the final two. So I do think Monty has to be a little concerned about that. And he should be doing everything in his power to make Brittany feel like, hey, I like you a lot, actually. Mm-hmm. I actually feel like you're my best friend in this game.
Yeah. Smile. Yeah, like, you legit cannot play. Yeah. You can't even play HOH next week. Like, Brittany now has shown she can win a couple comps, so mm-hmm. you should be afraid. But yeah, that was weird to find out that Turner brought that up. I'm like, Mr. Facts. Man of very few words, you voluntarily brought that up when you knew that Michael was a big target. Like, that felt unnecessary. But they didn't flash back to show us or anything, so I guess we'll never know.
And no, I think the edit,
I do remember it happening for sure. I remember the conversation. Yeah,
I think the edit kind of helped Turner in that way, though, because he had that DR right after Michael exposed that and was like, well, I didn't even want to do that initially. And they didn't show the conversation with Monty and Turner before, you know, a day before or whatever, talking about targeting Michael, you know, if, like, you know, whatever comes up. So I think the edit kind of was on Turner's favor in that moment of being like, well, I didn't want to do it. But again, people tend to be mad at the person that reluctantly did it than the person that had conviction behind it. So.
Yeah. And it's also like, I think that he meant it when he said it. That's mm-hmm. the thing. It's that he didn't mean it when he said it. And I think that's another element of like frustration that comes into it. Like, there's like, on one hand, like, it almost feels better if you were lied to the whole time. Oh yeah, I was tricking you. Of course I wanted you out because you're so good. Like, that's what Monty says. And even though Michael's not liking it in the moment, I guarantee you he likes it better than what Turner did after the fact. Mm-hmm. But Turner is like, yeah, of course, I don't plan on coming after you. So I don't want to go after you because LGBTQ. And then Monty's like, actually, I've decided we're going to go after Michael. Mm. And he's like, ah, okay. All right.
He's so easily convinced.
Sorry about that one. Shouldn't have said that.
Just make sure everyone's okay with it.
Oh, that was so easy for him.
Yeah. So that's really where we are right now. I think that Monty is in a great position moving forward. Maybe not handling a conversation with Brittany very well, but definitely looking to be in a good spot as long as Brittany is willing to take Turner out over him. As long as Turner doesn't win the HOH, then he should be like lock safe at that point. If Turner does win the HOH, he still has a few outs at that point with either Turner or himself winning the final four veto. He's still fine. I don't think Turner will turn on him at four. Turner being willing to take out Alyssa here, not that he has much choice. It just continues to signal the, you know, his willingness to just kind of go along with whatever at this point. He may make a decision at final three that that cuts Monty. But at that point, if it's, you know, if it's Monty and Taylor, I think he'll just take Monty. If it's Monty and Brittany, maybe something else. But I don't see many scenarios where that's really happening, because Turner would likely take Brittany out at four if he could. And if he can't, then it's somebody probably taking him out. So, you know, who knows? But that's where we are.
He thinks he can beat Monty.
What goes on in Turner's head? This is my final two person. Like he is, and this could be a ploy. It absolutely could be. I don't necessarily think it is, but it could be. He's talking about you should absolutely bring the best player to the end. Like he's one of those, you know, and you know, like Paul should have won, and like, you know, like all of these things about like you know, Cody did the right thing, Cody California, you know, he really knew what he was doing.
I totally forgot about that.
We'll see. You'd think that after last season, like what happened with Kylan, like this would be the absolute anti, like you'd never want to do something like that, but. You know, again, though, like it's not like he has much of a choice. Like if there is a part of Turner that's like, I wish I could do something else, then maybe that would happen. Maybe he would take out Taylor over Brittany at four. Maybe he would take out, Taylor over Alyssa here if he could. But at the end of the day, if he is stuck into a final three situation with Monty and Taylor, then there's not much choice anyway. I still feel like you probably take Taylor at that point, just to give yourself a move to make it not seem like you were just like playing Monty's game the whole time. But I don't know that he'll see it that way. But this could be one of the big storylines heading into the next couple of weeks as we wrap this season up. So we'll have to wait and see.
Here's what I predict at Final Four. Let's say Alyssa goes out somehow this week. Oh, wait. No, we're working with too many people. Okay, in a situation where it's Turner, Monty, Brittany, and Taylor. So let's say Brittany wins that HOH, Final Four HOH, and then Monty somehow wins the veto. I could see a situation where Monty decides to evict Turner, and that's where we're going to get the, like, okay, Turner is like Kylan, because it's just, he's going to be like, dude, our final two. And Monty's like, I'm sorry. I have to, man. I can't beat you.
Could you imagine Turner like what? What kind of example are you setting for all of your clients?
Your podcast listeners.
Your short shorts,
your thighs, yeah.
You know, blase, blase, blah.
Yeah. So I predicted I saw the Jasmine HOH coming. So this is what I see for Final Four. So we'll see how that plays out.
I would love to see that.
I think it'd be interesting to see. I don't know that's a guarantee that Monty evicts Turner over Taylor at four, if he has to choose. Because I think that he'd be worried that Brittany's gonna take Taylor to the final two. Whereas if it's Brittany and Turner, then
he's like, it should be a given. Yeah.
Yeah. So who knows? Who knows?
It'll be interesting.
Yeah. All right. Anything else to talk about before we wrap this up?
Keep doing the scary comps. They're fun to see.
Agreed.
Welcome to the podcast of terror.
Oh my gosh. We need that on replay.
Don't go. Don't put the earbuds in your ear.
Okay, they're already in my ear. They're already in my ear.
Then it's too late for you.
Oh, you will be a very great, like, erotic, like, you know.
Period.
Yeah.
Yeah. A great period.
Yeah. All right. So that's what we've got for you. Make sure you tune in tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Eastern, where I will update you on everything that happened today on the Big Brother 24 live feeds, including this weird conversation between Monty, Brittany, and Taylor that happened during tonight's episode and podcast. We'll see if anything changes with the decision between Alyssa and Taylor. If Monty decides to change his mind, if Brittany or Turner decide to change their minds, I will keep you updated on all of that. You can, of course, also find Jacob and I tomorrow on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, episode 2 of the Edging Show. Where we're edgy.
We edging.
I've got some stories to tell. Jacob's got some stories to tell.
Mm-hmm. We have some life to talk about. We have some catching up to do. It's always a good time. Just us getting off.
I did listen and I thoroughly enjoyed it. Y'all are great together. Jacob, you tell amazing stories. I just feel like I'm there when you tell a story.
I found my phone.
Where was
my
it?
Phone got returned.
Save it for tomorrow. Save it for tomorrow.
Yes. Stay tuned, everyone. You have to
5:30 p.m. Eastern.
Phone.
Yeah. Tomorrow on Twitch. You can also find me playing some games, watching the episodes live with all of you. So check all of that out. You can find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn. I'll be posting these Jacob Jones shows as well on YouTube. You can find them over there as well as some Among Us videos. I will also be talking House of the Dragon as that has aired tonight. I will need to watch it after this podcast. And then we'll be talking about it on the Book Club podcast. Spoiler free for the first portion of that podcast. So you don't need to worry about all of that. It's again over on Post Show Recaps. Jacob Jones, what are you up to?
I'm up to you. And catch me on Terrence Twitch Stream tomorrow talking about everything. You can find me on everywhere at JacobJ_Jones. Also, I want to say I saw tweets about this. People don't think that Taryn knows about edging. He very much so does. I just want to clarify that. He's the one that impromptu gave us the name, and yeah, so I just wanted to make that crystal clear. And yeah, this was such a fun podcast. I've been on with Asia once before, or she doesn't remember, but
she can't tell me when
I just know it has happened. Taryn, let's keep comments to ourselves. Okay. And you know, I always love it when I talk to you, Taryn. And yeah, y'all are amazing. And I've thoroughly enjoyed tonight. Also, The Little Mermaid, a little trailer has came out, and I've been doing nothing but singing that song like in my apartment. And like, it just, the acoustics of everything, it hits so nicely. So
Under the Sea.
No, not Under the Sea. It's like.
What's a more classic Little Mermaid song than Under the Sea?
It's she's like on the rock, like you know what song I'm talking about? I'm gonna give a 5 second snippet. Though. Out of the sea, wish I could be part of your world.
Beautiful.
I love the chair spinning.
It's like I'm in the ocean.
Asia, what part of the world are you in?
Y'all can follow me on Twitter at Asia Like Asia. That's AYSHA Like ASIA. I have been podcasting about this season of Married at First Sight, season 15, over on the Perfect Match podcast with Jason Reed. We're halfway through the season, so come check us out. You subscribe to the Love at First Sight feed. You can get all of those podcasts and also subscribe to that feed because Love is Blind After the Altar season 2 is coming out soon. It's dropping on September 16th. So Mary and I will be back to cover those 3 episodes. And then also last week I joined Rob and Jenny and Scally was there as well. We talked about episode 9 of Claim to Fame. So if you're catching up on Claim to Fame, listen to the podcast along the way. It was really good. I had a fun time. So yeah, everything else I'm doing, I'll talk about it on my Twitter.
All right.
Also, can I say one more thing? Asia, I see you on the round tables and you do such a good job. I stay in for like a couple minutes, then I dip out. But when I come in and I see like so like seamless how like everything comes together, I think you're so like you just do an amazing job on the round table, because that's, you know, the what I last saw you on. But you've done so much more. But I just, yeah, you do so great on the round table. And then round table and the people at the round table for me is very hard to do, because you have to like, my memory, give me one good sleep and everything is gone. You know what I mean? Like I have like write things down and I'm just not that type. So it's very difficult for a person like myself to like really go on the round table and like spit facts and like know about like the things that are happening in the house and be like timely and like, you know, just know your shit. And you know your shit. And it's like awesome to like hear you like spit your shit and everything like that. So great job.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Karen was right. You are unafraid of kindness.
It just hit me. It just hit me because I feel like I've never told you that, but I feel like I made reference to it one time. I was like, damn, I don't really listen to a lot of podcasts also, but like I could like listen to like you on a podcast like longer than
you can last like a couple minutes. Like,
oh, I can definitely. Oh, Taryn, put me to work. Oh, you get a good hour. Okay. I'm a good time. Okay. Oh,
so you can listen to a podcast for an hour. But all right,
it has to be the right person. But yeah. Great job.
Right. Appreciate it.
All right. Well, thank you all so much for joining us here tonight on the Sunday night Big Brother 24 episode recap podcast here over on Rob is a Podcast. Again, I'll be back tomorrow morning with an update for you on the live feeds. Tuesday, we'll have the next roundtable. We'll rate all these players and prepare for what will be the finale just 2 weeks from now.
So, I know. That's so quick.
Yeah. There's only going to be one more of these Rob-free Sunday night podcasts. I assume that Rob is coming on for the finale. I don't want to make any presumptions here. But
wait, is the finale on a Sunday?
It is weirdly on a Sunday, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't like that.
I'm going to a wedding, so I may or may not have the episode on my phone during the reception.
That's a good time. Yeah. It's on a Sunday. I don't like that at all. Who can I talk to?
Yeah, right? You also talk to them about the 8:30.
I know. Literally, like that is not tea.
People have House of the Dragon to watch. Come on.
People have Real Housewives. Well, that starts at 8, so that's the same time. But I just typically never watch the. Yes, I am single. But make sure you come correct. I saw that in the chat, you know. But let's close it out, baby.
All right. Thank you all so much for joining us here tonight, and we will see all of you next time.
Oh my God, that's so funny.